Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Okay, we are continuing with our scorecard. You can do the same. Send in your percentages. What do you think this administration was able to achieve or not? So send us those numbers. 086 00 00 959. You can also do that on voice note on 063 688 0959. We've looked at crime. We've looked at water. We've looked at energy. We now are looking at the job market. Unemployment. Everybody's been speaking about unemployment. Are we seeing improvements? I bet many would say absolutely not. SAFTU. Mametla Sibi is from SAFTU, as I said, from National Executive Committee member there. Thank you, Mr. Sibi. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Fabiano, and thank you to listeners of Calvin.
Very recently, I mean, I don't even have to go back 5 years, you've been very, very concerned about the cost of living crisis. You've actually had an entire cost of living crisis campaign. You've been worried about just the conditions of where people live, the surroundings, housing being an issue as well, unemployment being an issue. Let's start with the reality on the ground, the cost of living being so high. I think we are now at a 13-year high.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at
food inflation.
We look at everything that really working class require for its subsistence. From food, the inflation is well above an average CPI, and today the food basket stands, when basically 13.8 million people in this country are said to be living below it, meaning they are living below the level of food required to sustain, a normal human being. The cost of electricity, it has increased from 2007 to 2024 by 360% if you exclude inflation, 800% according to some estimate if you don't exclude inflation from that. We can go on in terms of transport, in terms of, the cost of housing and all of these things, just with regard to housing, you know that most of the people in this country are in bonded, housing market. Just when you look at the interest rate increases in the past few months, from November 2021, I think that's when they started with the current cycle of interest rate increases. An average bondholder is paying over 4,000 rand more than before the current interest rate hike cycle. Now, these are having a devastating impact in terms of the cost of living, which in reality is really a cost of survival, because that is just where people are.
Yeah. I want to take a call. We've asked people to call in and weigh in on some of these conversations. Onika is calling from Midrand. Onika, good evening and welcome.
Let me greet the listeners as well.
Morning.
I just wanted to talk about the issue of the persons with disabilities as we are getting ourselves to vote tomorrow. And there's just something significant. I live in Midrand. But I went to vote at Tshego home where I come from. And the three significant things that happened quickly, let me just narrate. One is that I got a bit nostalgic when I got home at my grandmother's home, because I remembered that around 1994, before we were given an RDP house, we were living around 20 of us in one house, with our cousins, nieces and nephews, and uncles and everyone else. But today, my grandmother is just, living with a few other people, not as close as we used to be. And she has the title deed to that, which is something that a black woman couldn't have before 1994. But then something again, as I was driving to the Tshego Hospital, and I remember that when we were growing up, there was no hospital in Tshego. We were all driving to town, and in Polokwane we had two hospitals in one area. There was a hospital for blacks and a hospital for whites. And the standard, of course, was not the same. And then I remembered that the two hospitals, in as much as we're talking about challenges in the health system, but their access in terms of, you know, healthcare has increased for majority of our people. And then for sure we can now discuss quality, which is a discussion for another day.
Yeah.
But something very significant, the last point that I wanted to raise, is that I passed a school called Grace and Hope. Grace and Hope is a school for special kids with special needs. And this school, really how it evolved, it was a young woman, actually an old lady, who worked with young women in her home in Kasi at the Shiro, who then was then assisted by government to go and build a school with special needs. And now the school houses almost 1,000 of these young kids, and it has hostels. What I wanted to conclude on is that when you check statistics in terms of, you know, in terms of the Department of Education, you realize that there has been a gradual increase in terms of learners with special needs who are writing and passing matric and actually getting distinctions. So this means that we are moving from a trajectory that was saying a child with special needs was just a disabled child kept to just be closed behind doors, and we are ashamed because their parents are witches and everything else that we're, you know, pushing as a stigma around kids with special needs, to kids with special needs that are now given equal opportunities, are now having to go to school and learn this and that. Some are even thriving in athletics and so forth. So that is the reason why I'm calling to say, in as much as there are challenges, I'm not oblivious to those challenges. But I think the ANC government has done a lot for our people. And that is why tomorrow I'm going to vote for the ANC.
Onika, thanks for that. Mr. Sibe, I mean, there's a lot that's packed in Onika's point about the fact that, you know, yes, things are tough, but we've come a long way. It's a double-edged sword here for yourselves when you speak about labor. We've come a long way. People now, there's minimum wage and so on, but there are fewer jobs.
Let's understand these things, right? One is that the whites are struggling in this country to end apartheid. And obviously, the end of apartheid and dismantlement of the systems of oppressions, of discriminations, but also of opening up of services to many black working class people who excluded from them and so on, that on and by itself meant that life has changed and changed for better. And that's the reason that as working class, we absolutely do not apologize for the role that the workers' movement played in the struggle against apartheid in this country, even as things are. That said, one now has to evaluate the ANC on the basis of the policies it implemented in government and how those policies have actually advanced the rights we have, meaning the rise to basic services like water, electricity, education, housing, health, all of that, as well as to overcome the crisis of chronic mass unemployment that contribute to poverty and inequality in this country. And insofar as that is concerned, the ANC policies have been disastrous. Let's take housing as an example. They inherited a housing backlog of 1.5 million in 1995, right? The housing backlog today stands at 3.7 million housing units. The unemployment rate today is at staggering 28.4%. There are approximately 11 something people in this country who are unemployed. Many of them are young people who are having unemployment rate of about 70%, who are not in education, not in employment, not in training. Their lives are being wasted away. That is over and above the fact that electricity today, where we expanded access in the 90s, in the 2000s, many people are now encountering increased energy poverty because of relentless blackouts. Of course, it's better, but that reality remains with us, as well as an increased tariffs and cost of access to electricity that has priced out many working class people out of a safe and secure electricity, despite being connected to the grid.
So when you look at all of these things and the gains and the losses, overall, your sense of how this administration has been doing?
This administration has been disastrous for the working class, right? We should separate between the end of apartheid and the ushering of democracy and the gains that came with it. And of course, the ANC government and its performance, which must be evaluated in relation to impact of its policies, right? And you just have to look in terms of what are those policies. We've already spoken about unemployment, right? The reality is, even in respect of those workers that are employed, what do we see? We see an impoverishment of those workers. Half of the workers in this country are on the national minimum wage of 4,200 and something now, right? Below about 75% of the workers are earning just about 6,000 rand. Now, that's an indictment on the ANC because its policies have allowed a brutal restructuring of the working of the workplace that has shifted massive wealth from the working class to the rich. And this is the reason that this ANC government, this black majority government, has achieved a feat which not even apartheid regime could achieve, of elevating South Africa to the most unequal society in the world. Now, just take a step back and reflect about the significance of this. Apartheid, the system of legislated inequality, could not make South Africa the most unequal country in the world. The ANC majority government that was supposed to address the inequalities has made South Africa the most unequal country in the world. How then do you say that this government is accurate?
So your scorecard on that fact, because there are many, many layers to this. It's not just about how much people are earning. It's spatial planning, as we know, is a legacy that we have to deal with. But we haven't done much to bring people closer to their jobs. Transport is expensive. People spending more of their money paying to get back and from work than they are spending in their own, in their homes. Access to housing being a massive issue that you've discussed many, many times over. And that terrible missing middle. So you have a job, but you cannot afford anything.
Yes. I mean, look at, for me, is the fact that we are actually moving backward in number of these areas. I spoke about the housing crisis. I spoke about unemployment. But let's look at other areas as well, right? Today, the trains are literally not working in the major urban centers, right? The train system is almost on its knees. There's collapsed. The public bus transport companies that used to ferry workers, many of them are no longer in operations and in number of routes. And I think that is the reason that the cost of transportation is taking and eating more and more of workers' incomes. It is estimated to be consuming up to 30% of many of the workers' incomes and so on that they do a daily commuting. But it's also just the issues of access to education. I was looking at the access. I mean, look, never mind the fact that many of young people that, of children that goes to school, and 10 years later, and overwhelming majority of them are out and don't even get to write matric. Even those that write matric, only very fraction of them make it to university. And of those that make it to university, 60% of them drop out in the first year. 60%, right? And when you look at the factors behind that, it's just sheer lack of support on the part of government. And that is reflected in the fact that an English-speaking white person is 16 times more likely to succeed than an African-speaking, black person, which shows you it's not an issue of language. It's more about basic support like accommodation, transport, food, and a number of other support that are supposed to be provided to young people in education. So I'm saying, when you look at the impact of the ANC policies, their neoliberal policies have been a disaster in every single area. And I dare to challenge anybody to say, in what area have they succeeded? And if you do that and separate from the fact that the gains that are just a dividend from the end of apartheid, you realize that the ANC has been unmitigated disaster for the working class people in this country.
I don't want you to respond to this or comment, but this is the SAFTU that has also just told us and its workers, they must vote for the ANC.
Who? SAFTU?
That's you know. In fact, Zolindzi Mavavi said that.
No, it's not true. There's a fake news going on. Zweli has not said that. It has been corrected. What we see is parties disparate for support from the workers' movement circulating fake news after another. I mean, there was a fake, poster doing around that Nomisa is endorsing MK.
Yes, yes.
There was another one from, I see a statement from AMCU clarifying that they've not endorsed also MK.
Yes.
And the thing about the ANC is absolute fabrication.
All right.
We deny that with the content that it deserves.
Okay. So what's your scorecard? How are you rating this government, the sixth administration?
Well, as I've said, it has been a complete disaster. If you had to give me how the ratings you work, I'll give you the, I'll give them the lowest that you can possibly have.
What's that score? What's the percentage? What's the percentage, Mr. Subay?
No, like, the thing is, they've just worsened our situation in every measure. If there's a space for minus in your percentages,
ooh,
right, I'll be saying that minus 100%.
I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. And happy voting to you if you're still going to be voting tomorrow. Otherwise, looking forward to having a chat again some other time soon. That's National Executive Committee member SAFTU. Mametle Sibey is saying, well, if there is such a thing as minus 100%, that's what he's giving the sixth administration of this government. Ooh, let me hear from you. 086-000-0959. How are you rating the sixth administration? How did they fare according to you? Especially, look, it's all going to be relative because it's about your own lived experience. So we've spoken about water, we've spoken about electricity, unemployment and jobs, criminal activities in the country and security. We're going to be speaking about gender-based violence very soon, and we're also going to be speaking about health.
You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.